Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Ruby Freeman Orchestra. And thank you for all you listeners out there. And of course, my intro is with Masonic Temples and Corporation of Blind. But speaking of Ruby Freeman and Orchestra Shooting Stars, she will be, if you're out in the Los Angeles area, March 30th, she will be playing at the Roxy. So check that out. I believe it's at 8:30 p.m. March 30th at the Roxy. I'm definitely going to be there. I know that. I hear rumors that she is about to be picked up from a major label. So it is good time to see somebody like that before you can always say, hey, man, I remember seeing her at the Roxy. Anyway, again, I want to thank everybody for listening. And again, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Now, I got a couple things I have to take off my chest before I get into the subject of rediscovering oneself, which is sort of weird because there's going to be like two Andys here talking. One I have, this is basically more of a rant, and one is going to get into some involvement of spiritual aspects. But they all sort of intertwine, and as you've heard in previous of my previous shows. But I do have to say something which has to do with current events and things that I've seen in just recent times. In particular, let me go into the Middle East thing, the Middle East or thing. And it reminds me of there's a passage that's always been said consistently by, you know, in Pulp Fiction, and everybody's heard it, and I'll reiterate it. It's in Ezekiel 25. Of course, Ezekiel is a dude who saw the little spaceship, which I think saw the spaceship anyway. And it's interesting what his subject is, prophecy, and what's now, I believe, out of choice becoming a reality because of people's choices. So let me just reiterate, and you guys can all look it up and on your own, whatever. But this is what it says. And then the reason why I'm reading it, then you'll understand why the ramifications are what they are. I'm just telling how it is, and for every action, there's a reaction. And like I said, that's the way it is. That's why people need to change their views and change their subjects, because certain things are not, to, shouldn't be done. And out of hatred, it's basically going to demise themselves. So let me get to what I'm talking about. In Ezekiel 25, and it's number 12, thus saith the Lord God, because that Edom, and Edom, by the way, is the Palestinians, Edomites, they're Edomites, had dealt against the house of Judah, I guess it was Judah, the Jews, by taking vengeance, hath greatly offended and revenged himself upon them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will stretch my hand upon Edom, the Palestinians, and I will cut off man and beast from it, and I will make it desolate for Teman, even unto Dedan shall they fall by the sword. Think of what's been going on consistently. I'm just reading what it says. And number 14, it says, I will lay my vengeance, and this is the famous one, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom, the Edomites, the Palestinians, by the hand of my people, Israel, and they should do in Edom, the Palestinians, according to mine anger, according to my fury, they shall know my vengeance, saith Lord God. Number 15, thus the Lord saith the Lord, because the Philistines, Gazans, Palestinians, have dealt by revenge and have taken vengeance with disdain of soul to destroy for old hatred. Number 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will stretch out my hand upon the Philistines, the Palestinians, and I will cut off the Sherethites, which are synonym of the Philistines, Palestinians, and destroy the remnant of the seacoast. So think about what's happened in Gaza Strip, and it was a year ago. Think what's happened to the Palestinians recently. They are Edomites. And because they're not, this is just the way it is. I'm just telling them what happens. This is why I personally think that there should be a joint control between Jordan and Israel and the West Bank, and then it'd be resolved. But people in the world, New World Order, are trying to create a new thing and trying to develop hatred amongst, you know, continue oil in the fire for their own personal gain, and trying to make an MEU in that area, like an EU, you know, European Union. with their own agenda. And meanwhile, peoples are suffering. But for every action, there is a reaction. And surprise, surprise. People's plans, who they think they're going to plan, is not going to happen. And of course, on number 17, and you've heard this from Pulp Fiction, number 17, and I will execute my great vengeance upon them with furious rebuffs, and I shall know that I am the Lord when I saith, I lay my vengeance upon them. Of course, that's that famous line. Okay, and this is my answer to Obama, Biden, and the other puppets, and even all the Palestinian supporters who don't really want peace, who are just on that hateful thing. So being looking for a peaceful atonement between both their cousins, instead of and inclusive of those Israel Zionists or Jew haters, they're all synonymous, the same name. So looking to walk into light and looking for compassion and trying to merge together with two brothers, because that's what they are. Now, on the retrospective regarding the Jerusalem thing with Biden, and they're talking about division of why it's not, they're building within Jerusalem. It's not building an occupied territory or anything like that. And it's sort of why people in Israel find why the U.S. is pretty much ignorant and arrogant in its own way. In 1995, they signed and made a law called the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. That act was adopted on October 23rd, 1995, by both Senate by 93-5 and House by 374-37, making it a law. And what the Jerusalem Act of 1995, which I said was passed by the 104th Congress, October 23rd, it was passed for the purposes of initiating funding the relocation of the United States Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, no later than 1999, which, of course, I don't know if they haven't even done that yet, but attempted to withhold 50% of the funds appropriate to the State Department specifically for acquisition and maintenance of rails as located. But this act also called for the Jerusalem to remain an undivided city for it and to be recognized as the sole capital of the State of Israel. I'm just reading what it says, and this is what, you know, if you vote for something and make a law of it, then... And this is, by the way, Clinton signed, so, and Hillary was part of that, so you can't come around and turn around and say, oops, we changed our mind. And then people wonder why people get sick of the United States. Like I said, there's a lot more going on than just what's going meets the eye. There's definitely a new world order attempt in that area, and unfortunately, people in that area are suffering due to their oil and the fire and causing hatred. And causing people to kill each other instead of finding a real mutual compromise. Now, about the health bill. Everybody's all excited over the health bill. Oh, boy, we got health reform. You know, all this bullshit on CNN and MSNBC, and of course, Fox is the counter it. Because they're all lie about the so-called health reform, which is really no reform, but a Band-Aid while placating to the insurance companies. It's like the emperor is wearing clothes and all those people are celebrating for what I really don't understand for what. Because there is no public option. And the bill is absolute pure bullshit. You can read it for yourselves and see it's just pure garbage. Yeah, everybody's all excited. It's like they painted a car blue. It's still red. It's a red, it was a red car. It's a beat up car. It has nothing going in it. There's no engine in it, but now they paint it blue and they're trying to sell it to the public, and people are just swallowing it up. But personally, I think the American public are a lot smarter than that. They know what's going on, and they're waking up, and I think that's what the anger is. So, oh well, for every action, there is a reaction, and they're going to see it within the coming years. And another news, which I have to really lay on, is sort of snuck in there, which people probably haven't heard. But Bernanke, who is the head of, you know, the Federal Reserve, has, guess what, requested that the Federal Reserve should be the sole watchdog over the banks. Of course, that's a joke. I mean, what's the point? They are the bank anyway, but the Federal Reserve. Basically, they want to go inside instead of the, you know, the federal insurance, you know, government agencies which already oversee the banks. They want to go be and now become the agency. What is really ironic about that, the Federal Reserve is private. As we all know, they're owned by the Rockefellers and, you know, the Morgans. So what is the point of all that? I mean, people don't even realize it. It just went right through there, man. It's so funny. I saw that on the news, and it just, because all the stuff with healthcare, just nobody even paid attention to it. Now, did they? And I bet you that goes through, and nobody's going to even know about it because Obama's saying, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And no Republican would say no because they're, you know, they're all the same thing. And then there's, of course, Ron Paul's bill, which was to audit and evaluate the Federal Reserve, which soundly drowned, and wow, hundreds of thousands of dollars went to the Congress, and whether it didn't matter whether they were R's or D's in their names, they were all bought and sold. And, of course, that act was to find out and make the Federal Reserve transparent and do an audit. And that was quickly drowned out unanimously. Now that I got that off my chest, I just had to just say it. I didn't even get into a lot of the farming. It's just sort of amazing when I see stuff from Huffington Post to all the other blog sites, how they things are spilled and people are just drowned with their own basic bullshit from what they're being spilled to. But I see a lot of other people out there who are becoming more aware of what the governments have been expounding upon. And I just had to get that off my chest, like I said. So, now Andy's going to put on his other hat, which isn't really another hat. I'm just going to go back into subject of the day. You know, people want to hear and understand what I want to get into now, which is about rediscovering oneself, which was brought up to my attention with a couple people have emailed me and had questions about that, and because they brought up about going out of body and seeing oneself, and through a lot of different measures, and I noticed a consistency of going around, called round robin, I guess, and going into that. So, you know, I mean, there's out there, and probably a lot of people out there who are listening, many go through their entire lifetime without even having a sense who they are. I mean, which is sort of sad, but that is what it is. In fact, that's probably the fact that most people don't even have any idea who they really are. Or their sense of purpose. They may think that they work 9 to 5, and then when they become, you know, retired, supposedly, and life has gone beyond what their meaning of for who they are, they don't even know who they are. And then their partner in life, the same thing, whether, you know, whatever their situation in life, doesn't recognize them, because how could they recognize who their person is? Because they don't know who they are in the first place. So what I'm talking, I think it's very important. So to take that motion, to get in that quiet place for a person. Because if you don't understand who you are, then how do you expect to understand the universe in the first place? I mean, it starts from there. If you don't understand who you are, how can you even relate to the very aspects of the universe? Because that's where it starts. How can you understand the dynamics of all things? How can you see who are you with or who is around you? How can you understand, honestly understand, if you don't even understand yourself? I mean, there's a lot of people out there, and that's a lot of the, you know, if you get down to it, when I always say people need to connect to the universe and stuff, it's that same doorway. If they're not connected to the universe and listening to the universe, how can they even listen to the universe in the first step when they don't even listen to themselves. So if they don't listen to themselves, they can never really connect with the world around them. And they feel isolated, feel separated. They have that illusion. So that's where it starts. I mean, most will reach out for things, though, you know, for to find themselves. They'll go out and read even books. They'll listen to speakers. If they could tell them who they are, they'll go to see some channeler or some guru or priest or rabbi or imam, perhaps, or mullah or whatever spiritual or religious guide to help them, hoping to find who they really are. But you're not going to find it there. As if they are going to tell you who they think you are, like they would know who you really are. So who are you? What am I? Sorry, I still have that little throat thing. So, anyway, who are you? And what am I? I mean, philosophers and sages and perhaps have given little hints of how to get there. I mean, there's been holy men and holy women who have given these small little keys, hint. And yet that is the truth. It was never in any of the words. It's never been in any writings. It's never been in any scriptures or gospels or Qurans or Bhagavad Gitas or anything. You will never, ever find yourself in through a book. You will never find yourself from a speech. You will never find yourself. You'll never see it because you're looking in the wrong way. It's like looking at a TV set screen and you're going to think you're going to find yourself on the TV set out of an entertainment device, or even, it doesn't matter how profound the people are speaking. You're never going to find yourself out there, because a key to yourself isn't out there. And it ain't even really much of a key either. And I just use that as a metaphor, something like a lock. Key is sort of like the path or origin or the place. But it has been in the place you've least probably thought about. Least thought about looking into. And it's yet so simple. I remember that a famous sage had once said that the connection between us and the universe and our finding ourselves was like a key. And God said, you know what? I don't want the people to make it find it so fast. So ask all the angels, where do they think they should put the key, the magic key? And they said, well, let's stick it in the highest mountain. He said, no man will find it there. No, we'll stick it in the deepest ocean. And God said, no, they'll find it there too. And finally God said, I'm just using God as a personification. I don't believe that, but I'm just telling you the story. That, we'll stick it in his heart. Or her heart. And it's that simple. That's where it's always been. It's not something very special or so unique. It's always been within you. It's always been there. It's been in there since you reincarnate. It's always been in your heart. That is just the door. I'm not even talking about going in. That's just getting through the door. And what is the heart? What is it within you? It's your feeling. You can't lie what you feel. The key is just there to open the door. And once you open that door, of course, opening up your feelings to what you really are, it's just the first step to rediscovering who you really are. And like I said, it is the first step. And it yet is so simple. You know, I'm making it. Things in life and in the universe are really, really extraordinarily very simple. It's just that people try to make things as complicated as they are, when in reality, they aren't. Einstein once said, any intelligent fool can make things bigger and more complex. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. But I don't think it takes that much of a genius. You just look at it, it's there. Things are very simple. It's not, you know, it's actually then just actually doing the act. That may be hard. That may be difficult because you're dealing with yourself. That's the reason why we're in these embodiments in the first place. But it is very simple. So where many of you go, where do I begin? How can I, you ask, what do I start? Is it, do I just look in a mirror, a glance of myself and my outer self? I mean, who and what you feel is in reality the reflection of who you are. Your soul is faceless. It feels the entire universe at all times. It's totally connected. Now, you may try to close off those feelings and bottle them up and stifle them and push them down like a volcano. But with all intents and purposes, they're going to explode for who you really are. They may even come out some outraged anger or outweighed thing, but that's what happens when you bottle them up. You have to deal with those issues of who you are. Your feelings are part of you. And what are the source? Like if it's your anger, say, why are you angry? Or why are you really depressed? A pill does not fix those things. That's an absolute moronic thing in our medicine today, like psychiatry. Your brain is maybe chemical, but your soul isn't. Your soul is not. It's an observer. This is quantum physics, fact. You manifest thoughts, which creates the chemistry within your body. The thoughts are things, they're energy. They create the movements and changes of the hormones, factors, and et cetera. There are extenuating circumstances that you have hormones and women have up and down, or somebody may have be going through menopause and have those affect things. But overview over your oversoul, your soul can relate to those things if you step back. And like I said, a pill doesn't fix anything. It's like putting a Band-Aid on an open wound. If you think your feelings are being stifled and turned into depression or anger or whatever, you're not going to ever fix those. Like I said, it's an open wound. And perhaps your thoughts are who you are. And remember, thoughts are things. As Denise Sinclair, who had once said, she once said, you used to have to change those tapes, which change and manifest, and changing those tapes and changing those thought patterns will essentially change, manifest your own environment, which manifest changes you, the reflection of you. That is you. That's your feelings, what's going around you, within you. That's getting to know who you are. Getting that mixture, your crying, the happiness. I'm not saying go, oh, be a, you know, whatever, cry to your heart's desire, you know, but but do get in tune, get in touch. That's what they mean by that feminine, by the way, get in touch with your feminine side. It's not necessarily being that you're feminine, it's being talking about your, in spiritual, metaphorically speaking, your sensitive side, which is part of you. It's dealing with what is. Which tells you your connection, your intuitiveness. That's why it tends to be that women become are more drawn to being more into things that are intuitive or yoga or things like that, because they're already they're more actually ahead of men, males, because males that tend to shut who they really are. They're a little, lot further behind on getting to know who they really are. They've stifled themselves from the very. They're taught to stifle themselves. They're told not to feel. Like not feeling, Johnny, be tough. Shut those feelings down. You're not, you know, cry. I'll kick your ass. You know? be tough, be a man. By doing that, that child has now bottled up for who what he is. Same thing with the girl who's told not to get in tune with her own aspects. This happens into people who are confused about their own sexuality, their own genders. The same thing. They have a confusion of who they are because they haven't dealt the true feelings about who they are. So again, who are you? You are what is within you. You are what you've always been and will be. I mean, you are of past, present, future, and all above. You are, as they would say, I am that I am. Now, that may sound pretty abstract, but feeling something is very abstract. It's not concrete because the universe is abstract. And abstract because the universe is infinite. It is not finite. That's another thing what I already dealt with. Your soul and you, who you are, is an infinite being, an energy. So you don't have to put your finger on it and try to put it, and whether it's a round ball or a keg, just feeling and understanding it. It's like tasting an apple and orange. What does an apple and orange taste like? If I ask somebody, oh, well, they'll say it's sweet. And it's sweet, and they'll go, oh, well, it's like this. No, no, tell me exactly what it tastes like. Sweet, what do you mean sweet? I don't understand. The reason why they can only explain to somebody else that it's sweet, because they know that it's sweet. Maybe they think what's sweet is really sour. But how much sweet? How much less sweet? See, everybody relates to those things with their own perception, with their own perspectives, on their own taste, with their own feelings. That's what makes us unique. We're all connected, but our individuality, our idiosyncrasies, comes from our perspectives because we taste things differently. There's an old saying in Hebrew, they say in Israel, "Al tam v'reach in malit v'keach." I'll taste and smell, there's nothing to argue about. I mean, you can't argue over what's the flavor of things, right? Everybody has a different opinion. You can't argue over opinion. Same thing with your feelings. And don't forget, your feelings are part of you. That is how you get to feel, know who you, learn who you are. That's just a start. That's how you learn you are what you create, and you find out what you are is what you create, by the way. What you manifest with your thoughts, with your physical actions, as well as thoughtful actions, those are actions as well. Your choices are who you are, too. You are what your vibration is, and these can change. You know, you are who you are, but you can be, you know how they always say, hey, I was like that then, but now I'm like this now. Because you choose, part of you is your choice. That's also part of knowing yourself. The choice of learning who you are is another choice action of you, who you are. And only you will understand who you really are. Nobody can tell you. Not a teacher, not a father, not a mother, not your girlfriend or boyfriend or your lover, not a spiritual guide, not me, not a rabbi, priest, or mullah, or whatever, not a guru or a channelist or anybody. Only you can tell you who you are. So all I can say is just open your heart, feel that yourself. That is just the beginning of rediscovering who you are. It's the beginning discovered by discovering who you are. You come to terms of your own self-worth. You come to terms of all your self-love. That's the reality if you finally know who you are. And by the way, you don't have to be guilty, feel bad of things. There's certain things that people have done in the past, and they go, oh, I feel so bad about it. Well, that's what you learn from. You don't do it anymore. That's a start. That's getting in tune to yourself. Why did you do those things? Some inner hatred, some inner feeling, anger? That's a start. When you get to learn who you are and know who you are, you develop your self-worth and your self-love, what happens? Your vibrational level increases. You start relating differently to your world, your chains of thoughts. Your thoughts are changes. Your thought patterns change. Your tapes change. Your environmental change. So like I've said, many will walk obscured, not knowing who they really are. Many you'll see people walking like drones or even lost souls. Many will just be searching for their path to find themselves, if there is such a path of discovery, when in reality there isn't one. There is a mirror to look upon yourself. It's within your heart. The rediscovery of oneself is the first step. I mean, without it, you will just simply drown in your own journey. You'll be carried away from wave to wave upon the ocean's current, washed up to get it. You'll just keep on doing it, you ever heard, round and round until you finally get it. Lifetime after lifetime till you get it. So the first step, baby step, is rediscovering yourself. Once you start, the baby step starts, then you're going, oh, wait, I don't have to go to the dark side. I can go to the light side. I realize those challenges. I realize who I am. When you realize that, it's the very, very beginning of things. So like I remember what in Kill Bill, what was that movie? I always really think of the movies because I like watching movies. But Kill Bill with, what's her name? But she's had her legs were like couldn't move because they're from sitting there lethargic from atrophy. That's right. Atrophy from sitting in a coma for how many years, whatever. And Uma Thurman, she couldn't move her toes or her feet, so she's constant focusing. Wiggle your toe. Gotta wiggle my toe first, get it started. So that's what I'm saying. Wiggle your toe. It's just the very step. It's rediscovering yourself. It's just the first step. And it's very, very simple. I mean, it's basically unconditionally loving oneself. Realizing the beauty within your soul. Hence, the rediscovery. Thus it begins the knowing and understanding of oneself. So again, wiggle that toe. Start by feeling and unconditionally loving the beauty that's within your soul. And forgive, but learn. Take the karma, but grow. Step up. Every baby step is a new step forward. So again, wiggle your toe. Rediscover the understanding of oneself. It's really simple. You know, amazing how I did this show, half and a half. I sort of did a split of a half of a show, feeling one's a rat and one's talking about this. But I feel this is highly important. And this is my last show before I go on hiatus, because I will be going across the pond for a few weeks, visiting some friends and our British cousins. So I look forward to doing that. And but meantime, I will have a request, depending on the request. We'll play one particular show for the next 3 weeks. After that, it would be April 2nd, and I will be back on April late April. Be gone for about 3.5 weeks. Or 3 weeks. And I want to thank everybody for listening. And all those out there who follow in Judaism or are following Pat, happy Passover. And for those who I'm gone, who are following the Christian way, I wish you also a happy Easter. Everybody has to respect for one's path, no matter what they are, whether Muslim, Christian, or whatever. It is the organized religions, the hierarchies themselves that have a problem dictating what they have, but I don't want to get into that. But we always have to respect each other for what we are. And starting the respect is respecting yourself. If you learn to love yourself, hence learn to respect others. But if you can't learn to love and know yourself, how the hell can you learn to love the person, your fellow man or fellow sister or woman and sister and brother? But that's the start. Really simple, like I said. And any of you out there who has have questions, you can always contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. And also, any of you, I do check out my new book called Spirit. It is now out and about released. And you can check out my website out of it, andrewspirit.com. It deals with about going out of body. And, of course, you can listen to my past shows and archives regarding that. And any questions, like I said, and any other comments, you can always contact me at best of my ability. I will try to get back with you. And now I close with Ruby Friedman Orchestra, one of her newest songs. And it's called She's So Heavy. And I wish everybody a great, great day and a beautiful and blessed weekend. God bless you all, and thank you once again. She's So Heavy. Thank you.
Dark to breathe, parade my head through town. Change that city, I drown, and I'm alone in your audience. So go about your day. I watch the still light, nobody paints. Go about your day. Go about your day. But no real friend of mine. Blue Gun City, I resign.